The Public News Service Daily Newscast, June the 27th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. Once viewed as an automatic death sentence with the first diagnosis in 1981, HIV today is met with effective treatment options.
Today is National HIV Testing Day, which encourages people to get tested to determine if they are infected. Testing is free and confidential at multiple sites around the country. Alan Witchie is president and CEO of the Damien Center, an Indiana AIDS service organization. He says testing for the virus is simple.
You can come in and get your status in minutes. It's just a pin prick to your finger, and you can get your status in minutes. So it's worthwhile going and finding out.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Indiana, 540 new cases of HIV were detected as of January 2022. Currently, there are 13,900 people living with HIV in the state. I'm Terry D. reporting.
A 2020 study by AIDSVS.org found 76% of people who did develop AIDS had a late HIV diagnosis test. Now from the Associated Press, Republican presidential candidate Ron DeSantis promised to end birthright citizenship, finish building the southern border wall, and send U.S. forces into Mexico to combat drug cartels. That is part of an aggressive and familiar immigration policy proposal he led out Monday in a Texas border city. The AP notes the sweeping immigration plan represents a long-established wish list of Republican immigration proposals that largely mirrors former President Donald Trump's policies. Oregon lawmakers have passed a first-of-its-kind bill creating minimum nurse-to-patient ratios in hospitals. More now from Eric Tegenhoff.
House Bill 2697 creates minimum standards for the number of nurses on staff across hospitals, from emergency departments to labor and delivery units. Matt Swanson with the SEIU Oregon State Council says the legislation is a win for patients.
This law, when implemented, is going to mean that you'll have somebody at your bedside that is, well, able to meet your needs, rested and has working conditions that really allow them to focus on the needs of the patient.
The Oregon Association of Hospitals and Health Systems initially opposed the bill, but moved to support it after flexibilities were included, such as for rural hospitals. The bill now heads to Governor Tina Kotek's desk. Implementation will start on September 1st.
The new law also sets up staffing committees for other employees in hospitals, including pharmacists and environmental service workers. This is Public News Service. A new Denver program for e-bike vouchers has become so popular they're going faster than free Broncos tickets. Details in this Bloomberg News Solutions Journalism Colorado News Connection collaboration.
After voters approved a 0.25% sales tax increase in 2020, the city had to figure out the best way to invest some $40 million per year on climate action. Grace Rink, the city's chief climate officer, says it costs millions of dollars to create a single mile of bike lane, so infrastructure wasn't a realistic option.
But we can work on mode shift and market transformation through other types of projects. And so that's where we really started focusing on e-bikes as one of our big areas in sustainable transportation.
As of May, more than 5,500 vouchers had been redeemed, and each bike ride means one less car, adding to the Front Range's persistent ozone pollution crisis. Vouchers are worth up to $1,700 toward the purchase of an electric bicycle, and cities including New York are looking at Denver's success as one way to reach their own net zero emissions targets. I'm Eric Galatas.
And as rural communities still suffer from the so-called digital divide, the Biden administration announced the rollout of more than $42 billion for the expansion of high-speed internet access. That includes $1 billion for Wisconsin.
The funding comes from the multi-year federal infrastructure law that was adopted in late 2021. Federal officials say more than 8 million households and small businesses in the U.S. are in areas where there's no high-speed internet infrastructure. In Wisconsin's Jefferson County, Deb Reinbold leads Thrive Economic Development and says it's welcome news for smaller towns.
It's a huge opportunity for the state. In today's interconnected world, broadband's not just a luxury, it's a lifeline, and especially for rural communities.
I'm Mike Moen.
Finally, Catherine Carley lets us know young people who engage in creative activities report a reduction in feelings of stress or anxiety, according to a new study.
The Adobe Foundation and National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI, found more than 60% of young people surveyed reported an improved sense of confidence through painting, writing, or any form of creative expression. NAMI's Frederick Miggins says improving access to creative activities could help turn the tide on a youth mental health crisis.
Creative expression is something that just about anyone can engage in person or online. This makes it one of the most accessible ways for people to invest in supporting their own mental well-being.
Megan says creative expression is not a substitute for professional mental health treatment, but rather an important tool in managing one's overall well-being and sense of purpose.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member Alyssa supported. Here are some radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.